To the ABCs of Rock podcast. I'm your host, Chloe Shaw. The ABCs of Rock podcast is proudly part of the Western Media Podcast Network. I thank you for tuning into this podcast each and every week. Throughout the season, I'll be progressing my way through the alphabet from A to Z, where I'll be featuring bands or musicians going in alphabetical order, no exception. It is not only been a blast, it's also been an education that I've been having the time of my life. Before I begin, I must say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of this music played on this podcast. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. I play the music under the doctrine of fair use. I am not here as a DJ, but to offer music, commentary, and criticism. My goal is for you to gain a larger appreciation for this band, for the bands or the musicians played here on the podcast. And please go out and legally purchase or stream their music. The musicians need your support. My only goal is that I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about the band you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from the podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music.
Wow. Congratulations. That was amazing, Chloe. And may I say, welcome back to the podcast and to season two of the ABCs of Rock. It has been too long since you have been here as my co-host, and I'm so happy that you're here again.
And I'm the host.
And you, well,
it said I am your host, Chloe Shola.
You're the host for today, so I'm gonna leave, and you are going to take over the show, right? You've got this, right? You don't need me, Because I really wonder what the theme is gonna be if you're the host. Is it gonna be has your taste in music changed since we have last had you here? No. Well, you know, I have to apologize. I really, really wanted to have you back last week when I did Pat Benatar, and I really think you would have loved that episode. I'm really sorry that our schedules didn't work out. We, you know, my daughter is a multi-talented artist, and she not only is a wonderful dancer, she's also in a musical as well. So, you know, trying to book her for my music podcast, it's like impossible. Like I need to go through her agent and her publicist, and it's like, sorry, she's too busy with other things. And so she doesn't have time for her dad all the time. But I'm really happy that you're here this week. And, you know, I really don't know what you're going to make of this episode, because this is one of the, this is something that I wasn't expecting you to be a guest on. But I, you know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, if, you know, people that are listening to this already kind of know what we're going to be doing this week, it's going to be my concert bucket list. And just to give an idea of what that really means, I'm sure a lot of people already know, you know, everybody has a bucket list of things that they want to do in their life before they go. And, you know, I've been to so many concerts in my life, but I haven't seen all of the bands or the musicians that I want to see before they retire. So what I'm doing here is I am listing my top 10 or 10 arbitrary picks, because, you know, I could probably name like 100. But 10 bands that I really want to see before they hang it up. And that's what really I'm going to play here today is not necessarily my 10 favorite bands, but I have some criteria to this, Chloe. The bands that we're going to play here are going to be a lot of legacy acts, and they're going to be bands that A, I could potentially see live because they are touring. They are not ones that are retired. They're not ones where all of the band members obviously have passed on and you can't see them, you know? So this is kind of like my wish list of bands I potentially can see over the next, 5 to 10 years before they no longer are touring. So there's some big ones in here. Now, a lot of these are going to be new to you, Chloe, because we don't have necessarily the same taste in music. We've learned this over the past year, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, he likes Metallica and I don't.
Yeah, and hold that thought, Chloe, before you say that.
No! I'm leaving.
Because I have not seen Metallica, and I do want to see them sometime. Just, I'll make note not to buy you a ticket.
I'll be going to the bathroom inside while you listen to that.
Anyways, so... Well, let's not waste any time. We're already starting kind of late tonight. It's 8 o'clock. It's a school night. We've got a lot of music, and a couple of the songs that I'm playing are pretty long.
Like Metallica, which I'm not going to be listening to.
So, anyways, when we started the show, one of the bands that you heard a little bit of was a band called Them Crooked Vultures, which I actually featured last season on my Emptying the Vault, the letter T. that shock you? Well, Them Crooked Vultures are a super group comprised of Josh Homme, Dave Grohl, and John Paul Jones. And they toured back in 2009. They put out one album. But the reason why I had them as my opening act for this episode is because they have been teasing putting out a second album and following that up with a tour. And I am kicking myself for missing them when they came around now was like 11, 12 years ago. And I had the chance. And I just remember that for whatever reason, I didn't go to the show. And I regret it because I would love to have seen that concert. And it was a one-time opportunity at the time. So I really hope that they do come around. So they are my opening act. So, and that song was Caligulov, which that whole album, you cannot go wrong with any of the songs on there. It's a great album. So the first entry in my concert bucket list is
Alice Cooper.
Yes, Alice Cooper. You know what's really cool? I got to meet Alice Cooper. This is a little known.
Whoa!
This is a little known story. It means nothing to you, Chloe, because you don't even know who Alice Cooper is.
But
he is a legend in the industry. So here's the thing: I didn't even meet him having anything really to do with a concert or music. But back around 20 years ago, I was living in Los Angeles.
In 2001, in California, with school.
Yeah. I was working on a TV show called The Wrecking Ball. The show called The Wrecking Ball, and basically it was all about construction equipment and what was the show about? I'm trying to really remember. But basically it's about these big machines that like take down buildings or smash, crush cars. I don't even think I actually saw the finished product. But what is cool about it is that Alice Cooper, the production, hired to do like the show wraparounds, so that we went to this construction yard and Alice Cooper showed up in golf pants and a polo shirt.
What?
Yep. and I was shocked. And I thought he was going to show up, dressed, in his typical attire. And, if everybody knows what he looks like, he's got like the makeup on and I thought he was gonna show up with like a snake around his neck and have this whole personality already going for him. And no, he was the most laid back, calm guy I'd ever met. Such a nice person. And he sat down in his chair and he drank a latte and sweetest man. And I got to work with him for a day on the show. I mean, I was just a production assistant, but it was just really cool to hang out with Alice Cooper in this environment. So that's my Alice Cooper story. And it was a great experience. So anyways, I am going to pick a song from the Blackout era. And if anybody knows what that is around the early 80s, where he was so caught up in drug use that he doesn't even remember making a whole bunch of albums from that era. Chloe, don't do drugs. Got it? One of those albums is titled Flush the Fashion. And the single off of that was called Clones We're All. And this is probably one of, as close as I'll get to playing a hit on the ABCs of Rock. But I'm playing this because it's kind of a forgotten song still. I mean, it's a very much a Gary Newman-esque new wave sound, which barely cracked into the top 40. But like I said, I'm playing this because it's pretty much a forgotten song. It's been neglected by classic rock radio. So this is off his fifth studio album. And I think you're all going to love this. So check out Clones We're All. You're going to like this one, Chloe. Here we go.
Another day. I'm all alone, so are we all. We're all clones, all in one and one are all in one and one are all. We destroy the government, we're destroying time. No more problems on the way. I'm through, doctor, we don't need your kind. We are the ones, ugly ones, stupid boys, wrong ones. I'm all alone, so are we all. We're all clones, all the one and one are all the one and one are all. Six is having problems, adjusting to its clone status.
Was Alice Cooper with Clones We're All. I really love that song. Chloe, what'd you think of that?
I thought that it was pretty good. Once again, this season, I am rating the songs, and I gave that one a 7 3/4.
7 3/4. Excellent.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. All right, let's move on. So the second song I'm picking is from a band that I also really love and I've wanted to see for a long time, and it is The Offspring. And it's coming from their second album, titled Ignition, which came out on October 16th of 1992. Now, this was the first of two great Epitaph releases before some would say the Offspring got a little too big for their britches, eventually signing that big contract with Columbia. I had so many opportunities to see the Offspring in the 90s, but I guess timing. I don't know how it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. But this album, the Ignition, this is when I would love to have seen them during this era, before they got big. I love this period because it was, before they became pop punk and gimmicky. You know, don't get me wrong. I appreciate all eras of the band, but this is when I would love to have seen them live in a dark, dank, and dirty club. So let's check. Yeah. Not your thing, Chloe. I know. No. So let's check out the song titled Forever and a Day. That was Offspring with Forever and a Day, back in their early, real hardcore punk days. I don't know, Chloe, that might not have been your jam, but what did you think anyways?
So I gave it a 6.
A 6, okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, well, let's move on, and the band that I'm going to play next, I really hope there's a way I can take off my list later this year. But we'll have to see. Judas Priest is coming to my neck of the woods this fall, and I'm going to do everything in my power to be there in attendance. But it is an extremely expensive show. I mean, we're talking like tickets well over $300, if not higher than that. Yeah, so yeah, that's a lot of moolah. Wow. But you know, I really want to see them because really, how much longer are they going to be touring? I mean, Rob's voice is already starting to go, although in my opinion, he's still incredible for his age. Well, I'm going to pick something from one of their more recent albums. You know, I did an entire Judas Priest episode last year, but I only focused on their 70s output. But I want to pick something from more recently, their 2014 album, Redeemer of Souls, I think was really great. And the song I'm going to select off of that, Sword of Damocles. So, are you ready for this one, Chloe? You ready for some Judas Priest?
Hopefully.
Here we go. right. Judas Priest with Sword of Damocles. I really love that song, Chloe. Did you love it as much as me?
No.
But you still probably gave like a good, like, at least a 6? Like as much as, no, less than that, huh? You didn't like that song, did you?
A 4.5.
A 4.5?
Dun, dun, dun!
You're breaking my heart. Yay. I'm not surprised. Why didn't you like it?
Very rock and rolly.
Very rock and rolly. Look, this is the ABCs of rock you're on.
Very rock and roll.
Okay.
Not
I'm not surprised.
Much as pop and Chloe.
Oh, we need to do it. We need to do a podcast. The ABCs of pop. You're saying?
Yes. The ABCs of pop.
We're gonna start a podcast called The Pop Goes the Chloe. Maybe not. I take that back. I take that all back. Anyways, let's just move on and forget that ever happened.
And I'm the host of it.
Right. Okay.
You are the co-host.
Let's move on to my fourth song.
And I'm the host. You're the co-host.
The fourth band
I would like that.
I'm going to play for you today is,
yeah,
is Elvis Costello. You know,
you said Elvis Presley.
No, well, I can't. He's, yeah, there's no Elvis Presley concerts anymore.
He's VIP. He's VIP.
VIP? He's also not really with us anymore.
That's what I mean. Yeah. He's dead.
Yeah. My interest in Elvis Costello only grows stronger each passing year. For a while, I was simply a fan of just his greatest hits packages. But in my 20s and 30s, I started really getting into those early records. My Aim is True, This Year's Model, probably up through Imperial Bedroom. His catalog is so eclectic and fascinating. Some albums I completely connect with and some I absolutely don't at all. I dig the fact that at this stage of his career, he's experimenting with working with different musicians and backing bands. His most frequent backing band lately has been the Impostors, and they're absolutely great. I hope to catch him live with them at some point. In one of those albums from that I really like is from 2008, and the album is titled Momofuku. Yeah. And the song that I'm going to play is a really cool song.
Momofuku.
Momofuku. I'm just going to go with that. And the song is titled Stella Hurt. So here we go.
You should wear your red glasses, walking over the city pride. Streets are paved with heaven's pennies, gutters full of suicide. Teddy steadily fell from grace somewhere near Arcadia. Once she overheard a voice that you didn't hear on the radio. Velvet clubs and country clubs were never gonna hold her. Ringing the necks of silly southern bells who wanted to scold her. Turned up in another town, changed the name for the spotlight, sing
money and old glory. The price was shot beyond repair, but this is not the last act of the story. The night is black as crack shellac, abandoned in an attic. Stellar as silent as the grave, until the needle drags you through the static.
Elvis Costello in The Imposters with Stella Hurt. Chloe, what'd you think of that song?
I thought it was better than the last one. Exactly, yeah. Actually. Two and a half better.
Two and a half better?
Yeah.
So we gave it a 7?
No.
No.
2.
What? You gave it a 2?
No.
What are we talking about?
I gave 2 more better.
So you gave it a 6.5?
I gave
it. Are we having math problems?
I gave it a 1.5.
You gave it a 1.5?
No. I gave it a 1.
Can you give just a simple answer?
I gave it a 1.5 better.
You gave it 1.5 better than the last song. What did you get? You gave the last song a 4.5. You gave it a 6.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you gave it a rating, but what did you think of the song? Would you want to see Elvis Costello in concert?
No.
No, why not?
For many reasons.
So if I get tickets, you don't want to come with me?
No.
Okay. All right. So if you didn't like that last song, I have a feeling you're not going to like this one. Because you and Metallica have a little bit of a history, let's just say. It's not the best. But all I have to say is how in the world I haven't seen Metallica in concert is beyond me. Oh, yeah, the cost of the tickets. I'll admit, I'm kind of a cheapskate when it comes to concerts. I do get a knot in my stomach when I have to pay more than like $70, $80 for a show, which is why I've missed so many of those big legacy acts in my life. I just won't fork over $200-$300 for a show. It's on very rare occasions. I think when The Police reunited for their tour in 2007, I paid a premium price. But that was because I knew it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I paid around $200, something around that, to see Rush for their 40th anniversary tour. And it was their final tour, and I thank God I did spend the money for that. Those are probably the only two shows I spent that kind of dough on a concert. I'm very fortunate that I do have a connection that does get me occasionally in to see free shows at a premium local venue in the New England area, where I've seen dozens of great concerts for free, where I've seen Lenny Kravitz, Cheap Trick, Jane's Addiction, Stone Temple Pilots, And that was just before we lost Scott Weiland, Sammy Hagar, Incubus, and dozens more bands on that
also,
level.
I have already rated this song as a zero.
Okay, you haven't even heard it yet.
Exactly.
Well, someday I will find a way of seeing Metallica. I have no doubts they'll be playing shows for a long time to come.
Boo.
I do appreciate all eras of the band. Obviously, their 80s thrash metal era has a special place in all of our hearts, except for you, yours, Chloe. And their 90s output, I know, is controversial, but I still insist it is some of the best hard rock of the decade. We won't talk about Saint Anger, but an album that I think gets knocked undeservingly is their 2008 record, Death Magnetic. Okay, yeah, it still has that snare drum that everyone can't stand, but I do feel the hatred is still unjustly carried over from the previous record. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love Metallica instrumentals, and I think this one is fantastic. So, from Death Magnetic, which came out on September 12th of 2008, I'm going to play Suicide and Redemption. You ready, Chloe?
No!
Here we go!
No!
We'll be right back.
All right. That was Metallica with Suicide and Redemption. Do I need to ask what you in fact, I'm not going to ask you because somebody decided it was a perfect time for a bathroom break during that song. So I'm guessing you didn't like it.
No, I didn't. I gave it a big fat zero.
A zero. Well, you know, you might not be alone in that because I'll be honest with you. Some people, there's a lot of people that do not love this era of Metallica. But you don't like any era of Metallica, so.
Of course.
Well, anyways, before I move on, I just want to take a brief moment since we're halfway through the episode and thank you once again for tuning into the show and say how much I appreciate each and every one of you for being a loyal listener or subscriber to my podcast. Also, if you've been listening to these episodes, I'd love to hear from you. There's an email that I check frequently, abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can find me on social media on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. This show is available on dozens of podcast apps. So please, if you love the show, subscribe and give it a rating and review on whatever app you prefer. Those ratings and reviews actually play a larger role with the algorithms that help raise the profile of the show and make it more discoverable for a larger audience. We thank you all in advance. All right, so moving on to the sixth band on the list. Nothing will ever compare to seeing Blondie back in the late 70s at clubs like CBGB's or, you know, one of those small venues during their rise to fame. You know, I perused some of their set list on setlist.fm, you know, a great website, and I checked out one of the local venues they played near me in 1978, the Paradise Rock Club on May 27th of 1978, a venue that I have attended more times than I can count. I would have been way too young to go to this show, but man, what it would have been like to have been at that concert that night. The song I'm going to pick is off of their 2017 album, Pollinator. And this is their 11th studio album. When this came out, I went absolutely bonkers over this album. I personally think it's about as solid as anything they have put out since their early days of success. I've been a fan of Blondie pretty much my entire life, and it's been a situation of poor timing once again why I haven't seen them in concert, and they do tour a lot. So from that album, Pollinator, you know, let's listen to a great song titled Doom or Destiny. Oh, you can say
titled Doom or Destiny.
Doom or Destiny. And Chloe, I really think you're gonna like this one, and I think Blondie is a band that you'll love. And when we do an episode on Blondie, you have to be sitting here with me because they are going to be right up your alley. Let's check this one out. Clear as a bell in an echoing shell.
Is it my
Someone's got the giggles. All right, the reason why Chloe's laughing, because, you know, when occasionally when I can, I pull up music videos for us to watch instead of just listening to the songs. And what I hadn't done is ever watch the music video for Doom or Destiny. And here I am being naive, thinking that it's Blondie, it's going to be a tame music video. But if you've ever watched the music video, and I just watched it for the first time, it's a kind of an R-rated music video with a lot of, I mean, the song itself doesn't have any vulgar language in it that I know of, but there's a lot of bad words that are printed on the screen. And then Deborah Harry exposes herself at the end of the music video, which I didn't know about. So, yeah. So we've got a giggly 9-year-old here. And she's going to go inside and tell her mom, right? And
yes, I am.
And I'm going to be in trouble. Anyways, but let's talk about the music, all right? Next time I will learn to screen music videos on YouTube, I guess. Oh, God. Can we be serious and professional here, please? All right. So, what did you think of the song?
I keep it. He sticks it out. I want to watch that again. Can we pause this? Let's pause this and watch it again.
No, it's getting late. We have more music to get to. And you know what's going to be very sobering? You know that it's going to be the next band. All right. And we're going to get to that. And it's Tool. And there's nothing quite like the band Tool to really bring you down, Chloe. All right.
I hope that there's a music video.
I don't think there is for this song. So, Tool last put out an album before their recent release from 2019, which was titled Fear Inoculum. But they took a 13-year hiatus. But this album is so good. It was well worth the wait. Now, it might technically be the longest non-double LP album ever. I have the digital version that is almost an hour and a half long. All the songs are like 12-minute epics, but they're all incredible. So if you're sleeping on Tool, then wake up, because they're back and better than ever. I was a little late to the game on Tool. I got into them with their Lateralus, I think that's how you say it, album, around 2000, I think. But I quickly went back and picked up their previous records, which I still, to this day, toss on every now and then, and I love them. They were in the middle of a tour in 2020 when the pandemic shut them down, so I think they're eager to get back out on the road, and I can't wait to see them at some point. So, from the album Fear Inoculum, we're going to listen to one of the longest songs we've listened to on this podcast. This is Invincible.
Soul, longing for another wind. to the fray, weapon out and belly in. Warrior, struggling to remain consequential. Oh,
So that was Tool with Invincible. I really like the bass on that. Did you like that? You know?
No.
No?
No.
Bass, the guitar tone. It's incredible.
I gave
Such a unique sound from Tool. I don't know. What'd you think?
What did you think I gave it?
I don't know. You keep hitting the microphone.
What do you think I gave it?
I don't know. I mean, it can't be worse than Metallica, but I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I don't like playing the game. What I think you gave it. Just tell me what you think if we gave it.
I'll give you a hint. It is 5 1/4 better than Metallica.
Wow, that's twice as good. Or that's not okay. That's better, much better than I thought it was going to be.
And I gave Metallica a 0. All right. Big
fan. All right, let's move on. We got a few songs to go here, and we're going to get out of here.
5 1
So the next band is now in their 52nd year of existence. They were formed in 1969 out of Houston, Texas. We're talking about ZZ Top. Dusty Hill, Billy Gibbons, and Frank Beard. Frank being, of course, the only member without a beard, which, of course, we all get a kick out of. So here is where you can all send me your hate mail. I like ZZ Top, but I'll admit I'm not the biggest ZZ Top aficionado. There are a lot of gaps in my knowledge of this band. I'm familiar with several of their early 70s albums and, of course, their MTV era of success. And I kept buying their records probably through the mid-90s, but I haven't paid much attention to them as much as I'd like to as a whole. But I have so much respect for ZZ Top, and they are on my concert bucket list for the fact that I don't want to miss the opportunity of seeing them live before they call it quits. About a year ago, I watched a great documentary on Netflix, ZZ Top, That Little Old Band from Texas, and I was 100% invigorated to get back into them, which I have been doing. But I'm going to take it back to the early days of ZZ Top and play something from their second album titled Rio Grande Mud, which was released on April 4th of 1972. And we're going to play the song, a great underrated song, titled Coco Blue. You ready for this one, Chloe?
Coco Blue, let's go. Oh.
There we had ZZ Top with Coco Blue, a great underrated track from their early days. Chloe, I hope you liked that one. What did you think?
I gave it a 5 3/4.
All right. What did you think of their look? I showed you a part of the music video for ZZ Top. They had an interesting look to them.
Long. Very long.
What do you mean?
By their beard. But it's so weird. What is his name?
The beard. Oh, the guy without a beard? Frank Beard?
Frank Beard doesn't have a beard.
I know.
Cuckoo in the blue.
All right. Let's move on. And this one, I'm not too sure how it's going to land with you, Chloe. This is a band that I have not played on the ABCs of Rock. This will be a little bit of a test. And again, there's a lot of hard rock, heavy metal that I've been playing on the show. And this, I realize, this is not your cup of tea. But, you know, you're here anyways being exposed to some of my music. So I hope you're at least getting some enjoyment out of this, just spending the evening with me.
The night.
So I hope you can have an open mind for this one. The very first time I heard System of a Down on the radio was the song Sugar back in 1998, and I was sold immediately that first time I heard the song. I picked up the album and I played it to death. My girlfriend at the time, my future wife, hated this album. She hated that song, but I played it loud and proud all the time. System of a Down is on this list.
Mama, your girlfriend?
Yes, it was.
Mama hated it. Yay, I'm with her.
You don't even know what it's going to sound like. You have to talk right here.
I know, but I'm back.
So,
I'm not going to like it.
System of a Down is on this list mostly because in the last few years, you know, they did reunite and they have stated that there's going to be a new album coming out. But we all know that this is kind of a volatile relationship. So I have some doubts their reunion is going to last much beyond that supporting tour, if it gets to that. So I'm really hoping to catch them. The album that I'm going to play a song off of is Steal This Album, which came out on November 26th of 2002. This album, as a whole, is very underrated. It was sandwiched between Toxicity, which was huge, and their double release, Hypnotize and Mesmerize. All three of those went to number one on the US Billboard charts. Imagine that, a heavy metal album that went to number one. Another world, people. Like I said, in the middle of all of this was Steal This Album, oddly packaged and marketed, but in my mind, equally as amazing. So let's listen to one of my favorite songs off of this album titled Bubbles.
Bubbles.
That's a quick one. It's kind of catchy, Chloe, don't you think?
No. No.
Why not?
It just is not a good song.
Not a good song?
I rated it a 3.
A 3?
A 3.
Oh, no.
A big, fat 3.
All right. I'm not surprised. System of a Down can be kind of a tough sell to a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. and that's actually probably one of their more poppier songs, I guess you could say. Yeah, anyways, let's move on. We got one more to go, and I can't say you're going to like this one anymore, but at least I can say that.
I just don't like
At least this. I can say it's the last one for the night. And that's, you can take that with you. So let's wrap things up, and in my opinion, on a high note. Who's ready for some classic metal? A few weeks ago, I played some Iron Maiden, but from a later era album. So let's take it back to one of those classic albums, Peace of Mind, their fourth studio album. Their Legacy of the Beast tour was canceled due to the pandemic and is set to resume sometime in 2022, and I don't think any U.S. dates have been scheduled yet, but I definitely hope to check them off my bucket list when they come around again. They were here in 2019, but of course, I missed them because that is the story of my life. So, released on May 16th on 1983 was the album Peace of Mind, and we're going to listen to Iron Maiden's Sun and Steel. Are you ready for this, Chloe? You ready for some classic metal?
No.
No, she's not, and
because
I'm not surprised.
I'm going to hate it.
You know, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up to not like it to begin with, and you should go in with an open mind.
No. No.
She says no. All right, well, anyways, let's play it for our audience, and you guys can be the judge.
The way of the wild.
All right, that was Iron Maiden with Sun and Steel. Oh, I love that song. Chloe, I get the sense you didn't. What did you like? What did you think? Tell me what you thought. Give me an honest review of that song. Because I think you had to enjoy that more than Metallica or System of a Down. I mean, that had some melody to it, you know? That had something going for it, right? Your silence is deafening.
It was, I guess, okay. I gave it a 3 3/4.
Oof.
It's okay. Better than a 3.
Better than a 3.
A 0.
Better than a 0. All right. Well, we have reached the end of the road with this episode. We listened to 10 songs from 10 bands that I hope to see at some point before they hang it up. Chloe, any of the bands you heard today that you would want to see in concert with me if they came around?
No.
No.
But I want to put out my favorite one of the day. It was Clones We're All from Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper was your favorite?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I gave it a 7 3/4, and that is the highest one on my list.
So, Alice Cooper's coming this September. Do you want to see him in concert with me? No. All right. Well, I guess I'm going by myself again. Oh, well. Maybe somebody will come with me. Okay. Maybe somebody will come with me. You know, I don't know. Anyways, well.
Nobody would want to come with you.
No, you make me feel so loved. All right. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this episode and my list of my bucket list, I should say. And I'd love to hear what you think of it. And if you enjoyed the music on this week's show, you can send your feedback or hate mail to the ABC of Rock Podcast at gmail.com. Me and Chloe, thank you so much for listening to the episode this week. Please don't hesitate to reach out to me on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast, or on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. We love getting feedback and messages letting us know what you think of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure being here as your hosts this week. We realize there are literally thousands of podcasts out there you could be listening to, and we sincerely thank you for spending your time with us on this show. It means the world to us. The ABCs of Rock is part of the Weston Media Podcast Network. Thank you so much again, and have a great week, everyone.
Goodbye.